of them. First week was forgiveness. Second week we talked about peace. Third week we talked about joy. Tonight we're talking about help and how that that's a benefit of God. He helps us, doesn't he? Aren't you glad he helps us? We have a God that is present and active in our lives and helps us even when we don't see him moving. He's still helping us, and I'm thankful for that. You know, people want to not always give God credit for helping them. They want to think it's themselves or it's someone else. And a little story to tell you real quick. There was a little woman, a little poor woman, lived in an apartment complex, and she was poor, didn't have hardly nothing. She was just broke. She needed some food. So she would pray every day, God, I need some help. I need you to, you know, bring me some food. Well, one day she was outside, and an atheist lived right beside her. He didn't believe in God at all. And he heard her praying, and she asked for specific things. He said, Lord, I need some potatoes, I need some sugar, and I need some flour. You know, God, if I could just, I really need, you know, these few items. Well, the atheist overheard her. So the next day, she come out. There they were on her porch. She began to thank God, you know, verbally. Thank you, Lord, for making my need. Thank you, Lord, providing my need. Well, the atheist come out and says, God didn't provide that for you. He said, I went and got that for you and put it in front of the door. And she says, thank you, Lord, for providing the food, and thank you for using the devil to pay for it. So she still gave God credit for making sure that her help came from the Lord. And I think that's a good story for all of us, right? Because, I mean, though we are active in helping people, it's God that is active through us, right? That we are the number one vehicle God uses to help people. I mean, I know God can do it any way he wants, but I've never went home and been in my front yard, and $1,000 just fell out of the sky. That could happen. But God never worked that way in my life. But God has worked in my life where someone's gave me $1,000 before, where someone's blessed me with that seed. So God definitely uses people. I thought it was a pretty funny joke. Thank you, Lord, for providing it, and thank you for using the devil to pay for it. I thought that was pretty good. Any requests tonight? Spoken request. Stand on our feet. Let's pray for these needs. Pray for the service tonight. Father, we are thankful we're all safe tonight, that you protect us from the storm, God. You kept us safe. You watched over our homes, our cars, our lives. Thank you for that, Lord. We see your awesome power demonstrated every time a thunderstorm rolls through, the wind, the lightning, the thunder, the rain. God, we see who you are. We see what you're able to create. We see what you're all over. And we're so thankful, God, that that power lives inside of us, Lord, that we are your children. And that same power that says all of that also is a gentle spirit that directs our steps, forgives our sins, and helps us every day of our lives. We are thankful for that, Lord. For these needs before you, for Taylor, for Mars' family, for the other needs spoken, for the man that was electrocuted, God, for these needs, we just lift them before you, that you bring comfort, healing, hope to these lives. For those that have gone on, they need healing, God. And we know that we can't ever get over grief, but we can move forward with our grief. And I pray that that grief is moved forward in their lives, that they're able to love and live and have joy and peace again, God. We thank you that you hear our prayers. We thank you that you are the healer. When the doctors say it can't happen, you still say it can. We're thankful that it's never over because you're always alive. Thank you for that, Lord. We pray you bless this word tonight as we get into it, and that we are encouraged and uplifted by what your holy word says to us tonight. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I can sit down. Julie doing the kids tonight with the song? Okay. Mr. Randy is here. How many saw my Facebook post today? Anybody see my Facebook post? Did you see who was in my Facebook post? Yes. We all need help, don't we? Even Mr. Randy. So, any. You going back? Is that your school uniform? Is that your uniform, David? No. Oh, really? They're all different. All right. Do any of you need any help tonight? Nobody needs no help? Doc, you need help? We'll see if God can help you out on that. There ain't nothing God can't do. Look at Psalms 23. We're going to start there tonight. talking about help. Help is a benefit God gives us. And I am thankful for that help, because without it, we'd be lost. People are praying for answers, wanting answers, seeking answers, and the answers many times are right here in front of us if we would just open the Word and trust God and listen. Look what he says, what David says in Psalms. We know the Psalms, of course, but it's pretty powerful talking about help. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We talked about that before, right? I know Bill did a series on this. The shepherd has everything that we need in our lives. This shepherd maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. In other words, God helps me be where he wants me to be. God positions me. He directs me. He appoints me. He ordains me. He takes me to places I couldn't go otherwise. The shepherd's always there to watch after me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why will I fear no evil? For you are with me. You're helping me. That's why I don't have to fear no evil. I don't have to fear what the doctor says. I don't have to fear what surgery I face. I don't have to fear what's happening in my family or the world or nothing. Because God, you're with me. You're in my moment. And you're helping me in my moment. You're helping bring me peace and calm. You're helping bring me direction and strength. God, you're helping bringing me hope when I don't have any hope. I trust you, God. So I won't fear whatever I walk through. And I love what it says. Of course, it says I walk through the valley, right? We get to the other side. We don't stay in the shadow of death, do we? None of us do. Even someone battling cancer who's on their last day on this earth, they don't stay in the shadow of death. They get through it. And when they come out on the other side, everything is different. They crossed over that bridge of death into eternal life. I don't fear. He's with me. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You help comfort me, God. In my time of need, you bring comfort. You even prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why can I be assured that goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life? Because God is my helper, and God is helping me, and God is there for me, and God is never going to leave me, never forsake me. Think about all the time in your lives you can direct the attention to, I know God did that. God, I know you helped me through that. I couldn't have did it without you. Couldn't have got through that season. I couldn't have got through that storm. Couldn't got through that battle. I couldn't have faced that giant. I couldn't overcame that, God. I look back in time. I look back at yesterday and realize, God, because you're a present help in my time of trouble, that means you're always present in all of my trouble. And you're always helping me. But I can't hear God. How do I know God's helping me? God is always speaking to us if we'll just take time to listen. You know, every human being, we've talked about this before, every human being is born with a conscience. As a little child, you begin to know what right and wrong is at a very early age. And little children will test their parents at a very young age. Little children know certain behavior is rebellious. They know that. And they'll push your buttons to try to see how far they can go. We're born with a conscience of right and wrong. And as we grow up, something happens. We either make choices that please God, or we make choices of the devil. But God is always there helping us, and he helps us through speaking to our inner man. Letting us know that's wrong. Don't go that path. Don't do that, because this will not bring what you want into your life. We know life's choices. And we know that, you know, God's in every season. But it doesn't mean that he makes all of our decisions either. We have choices to make. And if we'll listen to God, he will help us make better decisions. Before you buy a car, before you buy a home, before you get married, before you have kids, before you make any kind of major life decision, I think it's important you ask God for help. But you pray, God, help me make a clear and right decision. Show me, God, what I need to do. I don't want to just go half-cocked off and make a decision based on emotion or impulse. Help me, God. Help me. Help me know what I need to do in my life. As a husband, I need help to be a husband. There's no book. I mean, I guess there's books now, but I mean, you know, for being a parent or a husband or a wife, you know, you just kind of have to wing as you go, don't you? You know, you just kind of have to grow into that, okay? this is not good behavior from a husband. This is not good behavior as a father. So I've got to change that. God, help me know how to be to my wife what she needs me to be. Help me, Lord, know how to be a father to my children the way you want me to be. Help me realize how to do those things. God helps us, and I'm thankful that he helps us. And David saying, man, he's my shepherd. And as long as I got my shepherd with me, everything's okay. He's going to lead me. He's going to guide me. He's going to anoint me. He's going to appoint me. He's going to set me where he wants me to be. God's got what I need. He's my helper. Go to the next scripture, Brandon. This is also in Psalms 46, verse 1. Just said the verse a while ago. God is our refuge and strength, a very present. And that's key, that word present. He's a present help in our time of trouble. God cares about your problems. He cares about your trouble. And he's presently there. He's actively involved in your life. There's not one thing we do that God doesn't see or know or understand or feel or hear. He's in every decision, every step, every season, every moment, every breath of our lives. He's a present help. And I am thankful. There have been many times I've almost had car accidents where I know God helped me. There was a time pretty recently on the interstate, traffic just stopped. I think Ashley was with me. It just stopped. And I had to slam on my brakes. And I even told Ashley, I said, I know God helped stop this car. Because, man, I absolutely seen us going to the back end of that car. And somehow that car got stopped. God was a present help. I'm so glad he wasn't on vacation somewhere. I'm glad he wasn't laying on the beach in the Bahamas drinking a root beer. He was right there with me when I needed him to be there. And here's the good news. He also was with Bill in that same moment. And Donna and Melanie and Marjorie and Trey and Ralph and Ashley. He was with all of us in those moments. That's the thing that's hard to process about God, right? And it's what his disciples feared so much. Lord, Master, Teacher, Savior, you're leaving us. What do we do now? Our leader is going off the earth. Who do we follow? How do we get strength and direction? How are we empowered? How do we know what to do? And he plainly says, I'm going to send you a comforter who will show you and teach you, help you, right? In all things. I'm not leaving you by yourself. And I'm thankful when I call on God, he hears me and he answers me. Some folks just don't like the answer, so they think God's not speaking. Next verse. Therefore, we will not fear. Because he's a present help, I don't have to fear. Though the mountains be removed. Let me just read it right here, 46. We will not fear that the earth be removed, that the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. God will help us in the midst. And what these verses are really saying, no matter what comes your way, God's going to help you. No matter what comes your way, he's got you. No matter what circumstances change in your life, and they do change. Most of us see our lives where we're at now, and none of us pictured us being where we are now 20 years ago. I would say most of us are like, 20 years ago, I didn't picture my life being where it is now. 20 years ago, this church didn't exist. 20 years ago, I'm in my third year at Walmart. 20 years ago, I'm in my 20s. 20 years ago, I'm younger than D. 20 years ago, I had 20 years ago, Ashley wasn't born. I mean, life changes. Who would have thunk 20 years ago there'd be a church on Jennings Road? There would be a third child in our family. All of this stuff would happen in my life over the last 20 years. My wife would become a nurse in that time period. We would have an established church over that time period. I would add a third child to my family in that time period. That was a season that was different. I'm in this season now, and God was in every season there and in between. That's a good thing. God helped me through that season. God showed me. God directed me. God opened doors for me. And I know it was God that did what he did. God's favor, God's blessing, God's direction. Because when I left Food Lion to go to Walmart, it was a hard decision. Food Lion's all I'd ever known. And I prayed, and I prayed about it. I saw I needed peace to walk away from something I knew, I was familiar with. You know, I knew what I was doing, and I, you know, I was decent at what I did, and I hadn't ever been threatened to be fired. So, you know, I was okay. And I just kept feeling gnawed to God had something else for me. And I made that leap, and I made that step. But even, I told you that, it took me a couple of years to really get settled, even after I made the leap, because I couldn't get settled for a little bit. But then I got settled. And once I got settled, man, it was just, whew, yes, this is where you wanted me, God. God was helping me. God was bridging me over for a new season. If we'll allow God to help us, he will, right? I mean, it's kind of like we get made fun of as men for not asking for directions, right? I know where I'm going. I'll figure it out. Sun's over there. That's west. As long as I'm going west, I'll run into it. All these roads cut across the same side. I'll figure it out. Just, you know, I don't need GPS. Get on my nerves. Turn it off. Yet, we get deeper and deeper lost. When all we got to do is stop and ask for help. Now, there was a time I asked for help one time in Winston-Salem. I was in my 20s then. We're leaving Melanie's aunt's house. We're heading back home down 52. Somehow, I still don't know how in the world I got off where I got off. I don't know how that even happened. But somehow, I got off the wrong place. And we are in a very, very bad part of town. I mean, it's bad. And the further we went down the street, the worse looking it got. Thank God there was a cop parked there. And when I rolled down my window, so help me, Melanie was there. She will testify to this. When I rolled down my window, I didn't say a word. The cop looked at me and says, "You're lost, aren't you?" I mean, that's how out of bounds I was. And I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I need to get out of here." He said, "Lock your doors. Don't stop. I want to lead you out of here. You follow me through every stop sign. Don't stop till I get you back on 52. "Yes, sir." I was thankful. I wasn't a bit cocky that day. "I don't need you, cop. I'm going to cruise the hood a little bit. I'll figure it out." No. Thank you for helping me. Spiritually, there's many times we think we can carry it by ourselves, do it by ourselves, and don't need any help. But we do need help. And God wants to help, but we got to be willing to ask, don't we? We got to be willing to ask the questions. Now, I was always one in any kind of in school, in meetings, on a job. I have no problem asking questions because I want to know. I want to know. I'm not one of them kids or one of them people. You know, if I start a new job, I'm not that guy that's going to sit there and not ever ask anything because I don't want to look stupid. I ask questions so I don't look stupid. So I'm like, hey, now, if it's something simple now, so we're doing this and can tell me again how to do this. I want to know. But see, something happens with us. Pride sets in a little bit, doesn't it? And that pride separates us from saying, "God, I need your help. I need, the help's available. This is one of our benefits. God gave it to us. He gave us the benefit of his presence in our lives and help, but we got to be able to ask for it." Next scripture, Brandon. This is Psalms 121. I love this little chapter, Psalms 121. "I will lift mine eyes unto the hills." Then it says, "From where does my help come? My help cometh from Ralph Combs." No, it doesn't say that, does it? "My help cometh from the Lord." The psalmist is saying, "Where's my help? God, I need some help. Where does it come from?" It comes from the Lord. Our help comes from God. Our aid, our rescue, our answers, our direction, all of that comes from God. God, I need your help. And you know, the Bible says that the beginning of wisdom, or the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So to understand that, it means, God, I'm going to acknowledge you as God, number one. That's the beginning of having good sense, just to acknowledge, God, you're number one. You're the bomb. You're the top dog. You're it. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're over every you're over everything made. Me and Melanie was watching a little video the other night. I may play parts of it in church. I don't know yet. I'm going to see if I can do that. But it talks about God over creation. It shows the animal world. It shows the sea life. It shows thunderstorms and lightning. Did you realize there's so... It showed about space and how... That's just... I mean, that is, to me, absolutely amazing. And I was trying to remember the fact I heard that it would take several billion several billion years going at the speed of light to cross our universe. Now, that's beyond my comprehension. Several billion years going at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second, to cross our universe. That's how vast. I mean, man, when God says bang, he wasn't playing around. He said bang, man. He meant bang. Bang, bang. I mean, he meant bang. And mankind can't find the end of what God's created. They can't find it. It talked about how the sun, which is, you know, it can fit so many thousands of Earths inside our sun, but then the sun can fit so many thousand times in the next biggest star, then that star can fit a thousand times in the next biggest star. God just keeps outdoing himself. It just keeps getting bigger and broader and greater. And it talked about creation, it talked about all he was over, and this was interesting. They said if you could take mass, turn it into energy, what it would produce. And on the video it says that if you take the average tree, average size, big tree outside, and could convert that mass into energy, one tree could light and power the United States of America for 10 years. That's how much power our God has. That blows my mind. We don't even think in the realm of the size of God. And to think that he would take time to help James? Who's James? I mean, who, like the song, right? Who am I that the God of all creation would know my name? Not because of who I am, but because of what he's done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Beautiful. I mean, God's help is available to us to access. I said Sunday, if you remember, if we would Google God for help, as much as we did the internet, how much different our lives may be. Because we have no problem. And I mean, I do it all the time. Me and Mel, I'm getting a little something, just a little stupid something. We're out on the road and says, I wonder, I don't know, something stupid. Like, I wonder when that business started. Hey, Siri, what year did Little Pig's Barbecue in Statesville start? Searching for that. I mean, you know, you can find anything. And we find ourselves doing all the time, right? Googling stuff. God's the greatest help that we have and the greatest support system we have. Let's use it. Let's activate it. Let's access it. It says, he will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth me, I love this part, he will not slumber. The word slumber, or the opposite of slumber, is alert and aware. My God is aware and alert of my situation. And he's not sleeping on me. He's watching me and he's helping me. And you may think God is silent and God is ignoring you because nothing has changed. But take the hand of God off of your life and see how much different it would be. I think about that. We see our situation and we think, my God, I'm not in a really good place and things are really going bad in my life. But how bad would it be if God's hand was off your life? Think of the things, you know. Bill had a wreck, what, a month ago or so? A bad wreck. Could have been a terrible wreck. It was almost a head-on collision. And though it was a wreck is aggravating and a wreck is frustrating and a wreck causes issues and, you know, you replace a car and deal with insurance and it's inconvenient. And sometimes you get a ticket if it's your fault, all that stuff. But Bill's alive, isn't he? And Bill walked away from it. Dale Hart Jr., you heard a story of him, right? Him and his wife and daughter in that plane crash. You don't walk away from any planes going down. It stunk that his plane caught on fire. And that was a bad situation. That was a scary moment. But they walked away. We can look at our situation and realize, okay, it's not where I want to be, but man, thank God I'm not where I could be because of God's help. Because God watched over me. We look at the storms of our lives and we think God is out of those storms whenever God is actually in those storms, keeping those storms from destroying us. Yes, there's waves. I had a dream years ago. I shared it with y'all years ago. I had a dream probably 10 years ago, more than that maybe. And I dreamed I was in my grandma's house, Grandma Minton's house. And in my dream, it looked like her house. And we're over there eating a dinner for Thanksgiving, Christmas or something, some kind of gathering. And all of a sudden, I look out her kitchen window And across the street from her window, I began to see waves, big waves of water. They came across, and they were getting higher and higher, and they were hitting her house. I mean, you could feel the pressure. When the wave hit her house, you could feel it shake. I mean, you could feel the pressure. And I remember standing there in my dream. I said out loud, the ones in our house, I said, we don't have to worry. As long as we stay in the house, we're okay. And I woke up, and God reminded me of his faithful promise of who he was and who I was in him. That storms are going to come. Battles are going to come. Giants are going to come. Situations we don't like are going to come. But my foot shall not be moved because he doesn't slumber. He's going to keep me in all of his ways. And I trust that. He helps protect me. On our cruise we had, it was not a good cruise, and there were some issues. There really were. You know, there really was a small fire on the ship, and all of a sudden black smoke coming out of the smokestack. That's not a good feeling when you're stuck in the middle of the ocean, it ain't moving, and you got black smoke rolling out the steam. That ain't good. It ain't good when all the crew members who do it for a living for years and years, they start whispering to each other and looking out the window. Then they want to play a happy song. Really? I know what you're doing. You're you know, trying to get our mind off this. We're going down, bro. We're going down. I know that. I feel like I was on Titanic. They go play the end. Ooh, conga line. Yeah, till we drown. Yeah, YMCA. I wasn't about no YMCA. I was out of my mind. And I was sitting there thinking, but you know what? And then, but Melanie says something. I did kind of a little bit calm down. She goes, I said, man, we're not moving. The boat stopped. She goes, Jane, it's a boat. We're still floating. Ha ha. You're right. We're still floating. In that situation, God was with us. It could have been bad. There could have been a fire that really did some damage. Something could have happened, but it didn't. It was not a great vacation. It rained all 3 or 4 days. We didn't get to go to our thing we planned, our excursion. You know, all that stuff. But you know what? We got back to land. Hallelujah to the we got back to land. And I said, thank you, Jesus. We're okay. God is our helper. And he helped us on that journey. So storms are going to come. But God is not going to allow us to be destroyed. The Lord is my keeper, verse 5. He's my keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Boy, don't we look for shade right now? Whew. I tell you, man, it gets pretty hot when you stand in a cemetery in a full-piece suit at 9,500 degrees. You better believe I'm looking for a shade tree somewhere. Oh, my gosh. Shade is a type of protection. It covers us. It covers us. God says, I'm covering you. I've got you. In my arms, trust me. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil, and he shall preserve your soul. That's the best news right there. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God's helping me. He's with me. He's watching me. He's with me everywhere that I go. He's helped me on my journey. There's days my journey is good. Days my journey is bad. Days I've got pain. Days I don't have pain. There's days that are rotten. There's days that are victorious. There's days of sadness. And there's days of joy. Just like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, right? What does Solomon say in Ecclesiastes, Melanie? Go ahead. Say it. To everything, there is a season. I know, and I'm glad that season passed. To everything, there is a... Yeah, I would have rather been home. To everything, there is a season. And in our season, God is in... Look, we just had a bad storm come through. Do we believe God was in that? Yeah. When the snow falls, the blizzards come, is God in that? Those Michigan winters, was God in that? Yeah. Is God in the Phoenix Desert where it don't rain for 90 days? Yeah. Is God in the rainforest or Vietnam where it rains on and on and on? Yes. God's in every season, spring, summer, fall, winter. And I'm talking about emotional seasons of your lives, because all of us go through that. You know, each of us in here right now, we could all put ourselves in one of those seasons. You know, Ashley, she's in spring, no doubt about it. She's 17, right? She's in spring. Then you move up to somebody like Dee. Dee's between spring and summer. Between spring and summer. All right, then let's move on to me and Bill and Marjorie and Melanie and Christy and probably Donna. Donna's close. I say Donna makes this cut. Yeah, Donna makes this cut. We're in fall. We're in fall. Well, late summer. We're late summer. You're right. We're late summer. We're late summer. I'm sorry. We're not fall. We're late summer. Now, Roger and Lily and Mom and Dad, they're in winter. And just play it. But each of us are in a season, right? But you're right. We're not fall. Yeah, we're not that old. Yeah, you're right. We're summer. Yeah. Then you're spring. No, you're pre-spring. And D is spring, and us are summer. And then, you know, y'all are, most of the rest of you are late autumn. Yes, late autumn. There's nobody here in winter yet, I don't think. No, not winter. Now, Uncle Gail, if he was here, would be considered probably, he would be winter. And Grandma Minton would be winter. Roger. Yep. Von Seal. Yeah, Von Seal would probably be winter. Huh? Joe and Sharon would be late autumn too. They're in their mid-70s. They're not quite winter. But anyway, gave you something to think about, hadn't I? Ralph, what season you think you're in, brother? You still growing? I like that. Still growing. Go to the next verse, Brennan. Isaiah 41:10, I love this. Fear not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed, be not discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. You're not on this journey alone. I had to go talk to the family yesterday. I'm preaching the service for this family. She lost her husband of 30 years. Been married 30 years, and I went to the house, and it's just been a really bad day. And, of course, I'm sitting there thinking about me and Melanie, because we've been married 27 years, and I can relate to that time frame. And to see the grief and pain in her face, to know she has to move forward and move on without this person in her life anymore. And in this season, though, and I told her before I left, after we prayed, I said, you know, God will help you through this. God will help you be able to move forward and live again and hope again. Because God's not going to abandon us in those times. They're hard times, and they're bad times. And there's times that it would never be on our bucket list to say, hey, I want this to happen in my life. But it does happen. And it happens by no fault of, you know, we've got to be very careful. Sometimes we want to put blame because things happen, right? Well, they caused this. It was a sin that they did. Or that's a bunch of hogwash. Things happen in life. We all know good people that love God, that serve God, that were, you know, that were good fathers and husbands and wives and children that have suffered. There's no rhyme or reason to it, you know? I mean, we see it all the time. We see famous people die and get killed. You know, we see people that nobody knows die and get killed. The rich, the poor, the black, the white, all over the world. There's no rhyme or reason to how it happens. But I told her, I said, God will help you through this. Just lean on him, because I know he will. So he has before. Help, sometimes we don't appreciate until we really need it, right? My U-Haul got stuck in the driveway, and I used Uncle Gale to come over. Whew. Well, I'm glad he was there to help us. Man. There's something about when you don't know how to do something, fix something, resolve something, and someone comes along that does, boy, that gives you peace, don't it? Thank you, because I couldn't figure it out. You helped me. Thank you so much for helping me. Doc helped me a couple weeks ago. Probably regrets that. That was a long morning. But Doc helped me, and I appreciate that. Because I couldn't have done that without him. I really couldn't have. I couldn't have done that task without help. And spiritually, we try to do too many things without asking for God's help in our lives. We live our lives doing it our way. We talk about that Sunday morning, right? We can do it God's way. We can do it our way. But if you're ready to change, let's do it God's way. Because God knows what he's talking about. God knows what he's doing. Next scripture. Hebrews 4:15. I want you to look at this verse. Talking about Jesus, of course. We have a high priest, Jesus Christ, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. This verse talking about how that our God feels our pain. He feels us. He feels what we're battling. He feels our infirmities. He feels our struggle. He grieves, I'm sure, when we grieve. He rejoices, we rejoice. We have a high priest who suffered those things for us. He suffered. He had pain. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried out, "Lord, if there's any other way but this way, let this cup pass me. I ain't really up for this, God. I'm not motivated to Lord, this is a battle. This is hard. But not my will, but your will be done." We see where Jesus cried. He rejoiced. We know that Jesus had physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain. So we have a God that's been there and done. That's what I'm trying to say. And so when we're there and we're going through that, he knows that. And it's great to know. It's kind of like, you know, I don't have a great redemption story like some people have. I don't have the story of I was on the streets and I was on drugs, alcoholic, you know, stealing, robbing banks, serving time, and God just changed me. Here I am today. I don't have that story. I don't have that testimony. I don't have that. So, you know, I can't relate as much to a drug addict. I can't relate as much to a felon. I'm not served that time. I've not been down that road. I've not ran in those circles. I don't understand that. When someone gets drunk and acts stupid, I can't relate to that. I've never been drunk, so I can't relate to that. But God can relate to everything we battle and everything we go through. He can relate to that. He feels that. He understands that. And to me, it should give us great comfort to know that he does understand and feels what I'm battling, because it makes you feel good when someone else has been through what you've been through, because you can relate to them. You know, if you've got a sickness you've been battling and you find out somebody else got that same sickness, it kind of gives you a little bit of comfort to know, okay, you've been through it, you're battling it too, you understand what I'm going through. We have a Savior who understands what we're going through. Next verse. Because of that, I can go before the throne boldly, the throne of grace boldly, that I may obtain mercy and find grace to help in my time of need. God, you've got what I need. The word boldly means with confidence, assurance. I can go to God with a confidence saying, God, I have a need and you have what I need. And so I'm coming to you asking to help me in this time of need. I have prayed for things in my life and I have seen God answer those prayers many times. I have seen God answer my prayer because I went to him in my time of need. Says, God, I need an answer. God, I need a provision. God, I need a way made. I need something. I need this, God, and God would always make a way. He has never failed me, ever. Next verse, Hebrews 13:5. Let our conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. He's helping me, right? I'm always there. Be content with where you're at, because I'm where you're at too. God does things in stages and seasons and processes. We don't get everything at one time. We don't know the future at one time. Everything's a step of faith. Like I said, I never pictured 20 years ago I'd be where I am today. Most of us probably didn't picture maybe 20 years we'd be where we are today. Things in life change. Be content with where you are at, because God is in your moment and he's not leaving you, he's not going to forsake you, and he's got your back and he's got what you need. Be content. I was thinking this yesterday, actually, about how we are so... I heard something on the radio the other day that caught my attention. It says that our brains are wired to automatically dwell on the bad things more than the good. It's the way we're wired biologically, that we tend to go toward the bad and the negative more than we do what's good and what's right. And I got thinking about all the blessings that I have that I forget sometimes because I get in a way of pity, right? You know, I get in a way of just, you know, I need this, I wish I had that, if I just had that, or this happened, or this happened. And I begin to think about how foolish, how ungrateful can I be to realize I've got all five of my senses still working. I've got a wonderful wife, a safe home, transportation to get me to where I want to go. It's not a Lexus SUV, but it's mine. And I've got vehicles to drive. I've got my health. I've got my family. I've got my home. I told Melanie one day, it's been a while back, I paid my bills, and I said, you know what? I know it's going to sound stupid because none of us like bills, right? And we don't like them. But I always feel really good after my bills are paid. No, I had, you know, my bills are paid. For another month, my bills are paid. It's a good feeling to know I've sent my bills in. My bills are paid. Thank you, God. There are some folks that can't pay their bills. They truly can't pay their bills. We take little things for granted like that. You know, Melanie observed an old man at Food Line yesterday getting out of his car. He had a cane. She thought he was loading groceries, but actually, he thought he was getting a buggy to go into shop. But this little old man, she said it took him 5 years, you know, to get from his car to the store. And all he was doing was putting his buggy back where he got it. She said he barely could move. We all can move, church. We can move. We can walk and we can talk and we can see and we can hear. And our mind for right now, for most of us, is still pretty stable, right? Pretty sound. We're blessed. We're so blessed. And the only reason we're blessed is because God is helping us. Next verse. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. I'm not going to worry about situations that can come against my life. God is helping me. If he's the Lord and King of my lives, that means he's above everything that comes against me. Everything that attacks me. Everything that opposes me. He is bigger than that. He is helping me. One more verse. We'll close out with this. Philippians 4:19. We know this verse. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Our needs are always met because he's always helping us. He is picking up the gap and he is helping us. He's showing us which way to go. He's speaking to us what to do. He's giving us peace to hold on when we're unsettled. He's giving us joy in our time of sorrow, hope in our time of despair. He's always helping us more than we realize. He's helping us. It's a great benefit we have from God that we need to remember, that God is our helper, and are we using him as our helper as much as we should? Because God wants to help us all that he can. But we've got to ask. There's many things in our lives that we just can't fix on our own. There's things we can't change. And it comes down to God, help me. And he will. He helped David restore his joy. He helped David destroy the giant. He helped Joseph get out of the pit. He helped Peter get out of the prison. He helped Daniel get out of the lions. Then he helped Moses cross the Red Sea. I mean, it's story after story after story we see where God helped his people. And most of all, he helped us at Calvary, didn't he? He stood in the gap for us and paid a price that none of us could ever pay. And he helped us gain eternal life that death has no power over us. Thank God for that. Any comments tonight in closing? Anything you want to add anything to what was said tonight? Yeah, that's a very true point. We just to know that, you know, we do need his help, and he wants us to cling to him. He wants us to hold on to him in those bad times. We don't have all the answers, church. Nobody does. We won't know to the very end of time of why. That's the question none of us can answer is the whys. But I do know who the who is, like you said, and that's what matters. Glad to have Ralph and Trey tonight. What an honor to have you guys on Wednesday night. That's nice, man. I hear you. Spend your vacation at church. I hear you, brother. We'll stand up and close out. If you have an offering tonight, you can put in the plate before you leave. And just to announce it, I know there's a few here tonight, but this coming Sunday marks the one-year anniversary of our adult Sunday school class. So I'm very proud of Bill for what he has done the past year. I know he has done some good teaching, and it marks the 1 year. I'm going to probably drum it up on Facebook a little bit. So, you know, 1 year. If you've not tried it, try it. It's like Frito-Lay chips, right? Eat one, got to have another one. But Bill's an incredible teacher. If you've not been back there, you really would enjoy his teaching. He takes it very serious. He goes into great depth and detail. I recognize that I'm not really a teacher, guys. I'm a preacher. You know, I try to teach, but then the preaching takes over. Bill is an excellent teacher of dissecting things and really digging into things and really teaching. That's a gift. It's really a gift I don't have. So I'm thankful that Bill has that gift, because I know he's ministering to a group of people in the back in a different way than I am, and I appreciate that, Bill. I really do. All righty. Let's close out in prayer. Father, we